This past Thursday was the actual birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Of course, this Monday is the official day set aside for reflecting on his history-changing work, which still provides lessons today. Even though Dr. King's efforts created great change in society, we've seen two frequent examples where the wisdom of those changes are denied and denigrated. Joining us now is the CEO of an outlet of education about the times that were, which can still strengthen the days that are, here to discuss the work of the Center for Civil and Human Rights as their CEO, Doug Shibben. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Let me give you the website, civilandhumanrights.org. Learn more about this center. And, the Doug, obviously the title clues people into what your focus is, but what are some of the specific goals set out for the Center for Civil and Human Rights?
Well, we built a museum in downtown Atlanta to showcase the legacy of the civil rights in ways that people who don't know about it, either because they're too young or they just aren't into the history, can really understand it, experience it, and feel as if it's relevant to them. And then also to create a series of exhibitions and programs around contemporary human rights issues. So we talk about issues such as human trafficking, of violence against women, immigration in the U.S. from a human rights perspective, to really allow people to understand the issues we face today and some of the ways that they can impact those issues.
With the idea of what we see today with, again, you, and later on in the show we'll play Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech, and the lessons of the words then seem really so simple to understand and so important to follow, yet today it seems like some people just don't understand or appreciate what the message of fairness, understanding, and just our concept of coexistence is all about.
Well, I think that America is a very complex place, probably more complex than it was when King gave the dream speech. So many nationalities, so many religious backgrounds, so many different races and tri and biracial folks, that it is sometimes feels as if we open up America that somehow I'm going to have less, or that I'm going to be impacted in a negative way. You know, King in that speech talked about the table of brotherhood, not tables of brotherhood, but the table where everybody had a place. And I think it's very hard work to make sure that no matter who someone is, especially if they don't agree with you, that they have a place at that table, an equal place where they can participate fully.
Do you think that one of the faults, for lack of a better phrase, maybe a more gentle choice of words, about how people treat fundamental rights there, maybe there are too many people who are more possessive of theirs than protective of others?
Well, I think it's human nature to be protective of those you're closest to, yourself, your kids, your family, those people who believe what you believe, those people who look like you. I think there's something deep in human nature that we have to work against that natural inclination and to say, am I building relationships with people who are different? Am I working to protect them as much as I work to protect myself? I mean, I think that's, you know, when King talked about the web of mutuality, you know, we talked about that we're all interconnected, whether or not we know each other, whether or not we live in the same place. It's hard work because it's much easier to protect the people that you know and protect the people that you agree with. It's a challenge, and it's a challenge in every generation.
And somebody always bemoan the fact of the waste of social media, where it gives an opportunity for minds of disagreement to come together, debate, and teach each other things. And too often, too many people in that vast platform seem to just look for the head nodders.
That's true. We love to have people who agree with us. It makes us feel better. But you know, one thing that we see every day in the center is that when you bring together people who are different and you give them a common experience, in our case, it's walking them through this legacy, they often will be open to not only discussing the ways in which they're different, but in the ways in which they have commonality. And so when there's a lot of optimism that I have in seeing school groups go through, and you see kids that look very different from one another, but they're able to find commonality and they're able to have real conversation. I think all of us, instead of, you know, in social media or not, all of us have to really want that complex conversation to know one another, to figure out the kind of life that we've led and how we may be different, and then to discuss those kinds of difficult issues in a very civil way.
Talking with Doug Shibben, who is the CEO of the Center for Civil and Human Rights, civilandhumanrights.org on the web, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. For the person who's listening right now, and as well for the individual who visits the center, how often do you believe that the sense and understand what's being placed before them but too often take themselves out of the equation by saying, well, you know, what difference can I possibly make in making things better?
I think that, you know, a lot of these issues can feel very big. They can feel very distant. But one of the great legacies of the Civil Rights Movement is that so many individual people came together to make a difference. College students, high school students, people from very, very humble backgrounds came together. And so, one, I think people can be inspired the more that they learn about this, that they can actually make a difference. The other is that, you know, Dr. King said, what are you doing for others? And I think that all of us individually, as we build relationships with people who live in our community who may be different than us, can then ask ourselves, how are we helping make their life better? Are we opening up our society? Are we opening up our community? Are we making it easier for them to be who they are and to fully participate? You know, to me, these issues, the civil rights movement and other human rights movement illustrate, these issues are really won at the grassroots level. They're not won in the halls of Congress. They're really won on the main streets across towns everywhere.
And just harking back to, you can look at some of the archival footage, which I know that's among some of the things you make available at the center. And when you look at the crowds gathering, whether it was when Dr. King was speaking, the Freedom Marches, any events or any efforts back then, it was really a melting pot of individuals. It wasn't all one color of people, one race of people, one sex of people who were looking for just to bring about what was right, fair, and just.
That's exactly right. I think about, there's one part of our exhibition where we have what looks like a bus, but we've wrapped it in the mugshot of the Freedom Riders. And you see men and women, you see people of different colors, you see old and young, you see some with religious garb on. And so you really get a sense of the diversity of the movement. Right next to that is a lunch counter where each person, each visitor can sit at, and they can literally experience what it was like to be a protester in that time. It lasts 90 seconds, and I'd say half of the visitors don't make it through the 90 seconds because it's so intense and it's so personal that visitors realize how tough it was to be a part of the movement and how much it mattered that each individual person contributed.
Now, we're talking about civil rights, but as the title of the center contains, National Center for Civil and Human Rights, and you also alluded before to the human trafficking, that's a crime against humanity people usually think with the Asian part of the world and don't understand how serious human trafficking is here in America, to the point where there were even recent laws put into place in New Jersey, of all places, because of a human trafficking fear the year before last when the Super Bowl was here. It is a worldwide problem.
It's absolutely a worldwide problem. It happens in communities that you wouldn't expect. It happens in convention towns. It happens around a lot of airports. We actually have started something called the International Human Trafficking Institute to really educate especially high schoolers and college students in how they can be a part of a movement to end human trafficking. It affects millions of people around the world. It's a huge industry. And often it happens right in front of people and they don't even realize it. And this is a good example of people coming together. A lot of people have come together from various faiths, from various backgrounds to work on this issue. I think that the anti-human trafficking movement in many ways is carrying on the spirit of the civil rights movement.
If your travels find you to be in Atlanta, please make the Center for Civil and Human Rights a stop and make it, it's certainly worthy of your time and attention. And if those are travels that aren't possible for you, civilandhumanrights.org is a website you should visit, because what you're assuming and what you need to know there could be a vast canyon between those two points, and the work of the Center for Civil and Human Rights can fill that canyon and construct a bridge for you to gain the understanding that you need and to show exactly what kind of effort you can make to strengthen, improve, and repair parts of our society and parts of how we exist and coexist. That's the key word with others. civilandhumanrights.org on the web. Based in Atlanta, the Center for Civil and Human Rights. We've been joined this morning by their CEO, Doug Shipman. Doug, thanks for the way that you awaken us, that your center is making us more aware of the needs and the past and how it's powerful for our future. And thanks for being here this morning.
Thanks for having me. It's important work, and we're excited to be doing it. So I appreciate the time.